It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of May the 31st, 1925, about Peter at Lydda and Joppa. Now, you may want to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 9. The text comes from Acts 9, 32 through 43. And we're going to learn a little about Lydda and Joppa in just a moment, and then with the geographical notes. And then we'll go to the helps and hints for the teacher and the explanatory notes on the text. Now, before we begin, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's talk about Lydda and Joppa as we look at these geographical notes. Lydda was the Lod of the Old Testament, and it was in northwestern Judea, 25 miles a little northwest of Jerusalem, in the plain of Sharon. Sharon is frequently mentioned in the Old Testament. It lies between the mountains of Ephraim on the east and the Mediterranean Sea. Joppa was 10 miles northwest of Lydda and about 35 miles from Jerusalem. It was the seaport of Jerusalem. Here, Hiram, king of Tyre, landed the timber for Solomon's temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 16. Here was laded the lumber for the second temple, Ezra chapter 3 and verse 7. And here Jonah took a ship for Tarshish when he had fled from the presence of the Lord, Jonah 1 and verse 3. It is now a city of several thousand inhabitants and has a railroad connected with Jerusalem. When we hear today about Tel Aviv was built just on the outskirts of Joppa and now encompasses that ancient seaport. Now let's look at the helps and hints for the teachers. As we have learned from Acts 2, the beginning of the church was on Pentecost. The work of the church was in and around Jerusalem. The work of Philip and of Peter and of John was in Samaria. The preaching of Peter and John in many villages of the Samaritans, and the conversion of Saul, his stay 3 years in Arabia, his return to the work in Damascus, his return to Jerusalem and desire to remain there for a time, but the Lord said to him, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles," Acts 22, 17 through 21. Also, when the Jews in Jerusalem sought to kill him, the brethren took him to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. So after this, the return to the work of Peter and learn how the way was open for him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. All this we learn from the home reading and other references and the earlier stories that we have had in this Warren County Radio Bible School. So now let's go on with the explanatory notes that we have for this text and talk about edifying the saints. We read in Acts chapter 9 in verse 32, "It came to pass, as Peter went throughout all parts, he came down also to the saints that dwelt at Lydda." Peter went through all the parts, that's the parts of these countries, visiting and edifying the churches and preaching the gospel. In this work, he came to the saints at Lydda. Some of the disciples in these countries may have obeyed the truth at Jerusalem. Others may have learned it from those who were scattered abroad on account of the persecution that we read about in Acts 8, 1 through 4. And some may have learned it from Philip and Peter and John. It is not only necessary to plant churches, but it is just as necessary to visit them and build them up in the faith and good works as did Peter. Paul and other inspired workers did this work, and more attention should be given to this work today. All Christians are saints. They're referred to that way several times in the Scripture. When one purifies his soul in obedience to the truth through faith in Jesus Christ, he is set apart from the world to the service of God. And that's what it means to be sanctified, to be a saint. He may only be a babe in Christ. If so, he's a baby saint. But he does not become a Christian at one time, and then at some infinite future time get sanctified or become a saint after he's a Christian. Then one does not have to die and go to heaven before he becomes a saint. The title, saint, prefixed to the names of the apostles and others, were placed there by men. All Christians are as much saints as Matthew, Mark, Peter, Paul, and John. Now, as Peter was there at Lydda, we read about Aeneas being healed. Acts chapter 9, 33 through 35. And he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had kept his bed 8 years, for he was palsied. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ healeth thee, arise and make thy bed. And straightway he arose. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Aeneas was afflicted with a hopeless disease, and has kept his bed for 8 years. Palsy is a contraction of paralysis, and included then catasclepic and tendonitis, cramps, and lockjaw. This affliction is frequently mentioned in the New Testament. Peter, like Jesus, went about doing good, Acts 10:38. And when healing the lame man, so Peter here calls attention to Jesus and claims no power within himself to heal, but said, Jesus Christ healeth thee. Arise and make thy bed. Aeneas had the faith to make the effort, and straightway he arose. The beds were mats or rugs or skins or wool stuffed quilts, and were not left spread when not in use, but were rolled up and put out of the way. And like the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple, this attracted the attention of many and convinced them that Jesus was the Christ, and great numbers turned to the Lord. All here does not mean everyone, but it does mean the mass of the people. And now we read about Dorcas and her work. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 39. And there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men unto him, entreating him, delay not to come unto us. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Tabitha was her name. In the Syriac, the common language of the country, it means beautiful. When translated into Greek, it is Dorcas and means gentle. She was full of good works and alms deeds which she did, that is, which she continued to do. Like the godly women mentioned by Paul in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, she was adorned with good works. Such good works are done to Christ, Matthew 5, 34 through 46. It says, as much as you've done it unto the least of these my disciples, you have done it unto me. They are proof of pure and undefiled religion. James chapter 1. And verse 27, this is the way to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. She died and was surrounded and laid out in the upper chamber, the guest chamber, owing to that hot climate, burial must necessarily take place soon after death. It is said that in Jerusalem a corpse did not lie overnight. Ananias and Sapphira were buried on the day of their death. Hence, Peter was urged to come without delay, Lydda being near Joppa. These two men could go and return with Peter in a few hours. It is not stated here that they expected Peter to raise her from the dead, or that they simply, like ourselves under such circumstances, desired his presence and comfort such a good man could offer. But since they knew of his miraculous power, they may have hoped he could raise her from the dead. When he reached the house, they brought him into the room where she was. Here is a scene which is natural with us, met his eyes. All the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. The coats were close-fitting undergarments. Their garments were loose-flowing robes or mantles. This Tabitha, this Dorcas, was rich in good works and ready to distribute and willing to communicate. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18. This is the most enduring, beautiful monument that can be erected to one's memory. But Dorcas was raised from the dead. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed on the Lord. And it came to pass that he abode many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. I want you to notice how it says at the end of Aeneas, when he was able to walk, that many turned to the Lord, Acts 9:35, and when Dorcas was raised, many believed on the Lord. It's two ways of saying the same thing. To believe on the Lord is to turn to the Lord. In the book of Acts, it's not a faith-only belief. It's a faith that motivates to action. Now, we read that Peter put them all forth. Elijah was alone and prayed when he restored the life, the son of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17:18-24. Elisha was alone and prayed when he restored the Shunammite's son in 2 Kings 4:32-37. Jesus permitted but a chosen few in the death chamber of Jairus' daughter when he raised her, Mark 5:40-42. Peter kneeled down and prayed. This is significant. Deeply in earnest in desiring the Lord to perform such a miracle, he took this lowly position. This indicates the conditions of one's heart when he kneels before God. Having prayed and sure that God had heard him, Peter had only to say, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. This is the first occurrence of an apostle raising the dead. He gave her his hand to assist her and raised her up and called the saints and widows and presented her alive. They all knew she was dead. They now know she is alive. Probably some of those widows were not Christians. We're able to work that which is good to all men, Galatians 6 and verse 10. Much is said in the Bible about helping the poor. This was a wonderful miracle, and it led many to believe in Jesus. All did not believe. Even miracles do not convince some. It is said of certain ones that if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe though one rose from the dead. One must have an honest heart and desire to know the truth in order to respond readily in faith to the gospel. In verse 43, we read about many days, and that's indefinite, but Peter certainly remained there sometime and doubtless continued to preach the gospel to the saints. The miracles at Lydda and Joppa certainly aroused great interest, and Peter stopped with one Simon, a tanner.